Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel speeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Well, there we go, Rusty. Okay, I just found out that none of that was recorded. Okay. Hi again, everybody. It's Jungle Jim coming at you with another episode of The Suspendables with me and Russ Cortinel each and every week. Go to suspendables.com, suspendables.ca. For all our shows that are up there.
Smooth.
Yes, thanks,
Smooth
Rusty.
Intro. Only took you 105 shows.
I know. I've been keeping track, Russ. What's our email again? Suspendables at... I still don't know what it is. Suspendables at yahoo.com. Is that right, Stevie?
Correct.
Got her.
Bingo!
Stevie and I have been keeping track. Steve Warren, by the way, back in Ottawa, doing the editing and producing. I do a daily show with Steve, too. There it is, the White Claw. Oh my God, beautiful. Steve's been produces this show, The Suspendables. And we started keeping track, Russ. Okay, you don't know this, but you're a little edgy. Okay, Rusty. Okay, a little outspoken, a little cutting, a little mean. Okay. We started keeping track when we both log online. Stevie gets us up there with how long it takes you to tell me to fuck off. Okay. Right. I thought I was going to swear, but it has the impact. So we started doing it and your average time, Rusty. Okay. Your average time is, I'm not kidding. Okay. Is about 19.5 seconds before you tell me that. Off, okay. But today was an all time low, the fastest time ever. Cause they said, "Hey Rusty, how's it going?" F off, Jim. Okay. baby. Anyway, welcome back, Rusty. How was your week, man?
It was good, yep. Actually. A little bit of golf, lots of food and wine, of course, and hanging with some old friends here in Victoria and lifelong friends. So it's been nice.
If you haven't listened to all our shows, Rusty's up in Victoria now selling for Discovery Properties. The theme of the show this week is who owns the island? Okay. Who owns the island? Because I love when you were telling me about that story. And I went, what they own their own island? Okay. Yeah, they do. And speaking of that, Rusty, owning your own island, we're going to start some contesting on our show. We've been talking about
it. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah. We've been talking about it for a while that we're working with Bill Yeady and Global Traffic Network to, we've got some. Literally and quite seriously, we've got some big contests in the making.
Why don't we turn it into the dating game and try and get you a date?
Yeah,
we could get a sponsor like the Keg.
Jesus,
that'd be big time for you. Win a date with Jim and that was all you can eat and drink.
Because that was the size of my last date, a Keg. Okay, that was, no, you can't say that.
Yeah, you can't. Okay, you're alone.
That's, I
can't. Keep it up. Keep it up there.
Anyway.
Only the lonely.
Oh, you're all vibrant today, eh, Rusty? You're all funny. You're all fun and games, huh? Bunch to talk about on the show. So you would know Brian Aaronworth is a friend of mine, friend of yours. You introduced me to him. You just reminded me back some 20 years ago, probably now, for the first Gretzky Fantasy Camp. And Brian's a great story. We got his son who's going to join us in a second to talk about this contest that we're doing. Brian started in the restaurant biz, struggled through all that, and then started a company called Frameworth Productions. And here's what Frameworth is all about. And they're cool. They're cool. I've been to their store. They are a sports marketing company located, I'm just doing this off the top of my head, can you tell? Okay. A sports marketing company located in Toronto. They've been working with athletes, teams, and leagues across all sports since 1992. They are one of North America's largest manufacturers of licensed and autographed sports and entertainment memorabilia. They've got a growing list of exclusive partnerships with athletes such as Sid Crosby, I think I know that guy. Do I? Yeah, I know him. Jonathan Toews, Carey Price, as well as partnerships with the Tragically Hip and Rush. Okay, cool. They also started their own podcast. If you know Brian, you got to know his son, Mikey. Okay. And I don't know. Mikey's off the rails. Okay. Mikey's okay. That's not bad. He's crazy. He's
Aaronworth.
What are you doing? Yeah, Mikey Aaronworth. His TikTok stuff is just hilarious. Okay. But he does a bunch of other things as well as working for the company. They started a podcast. It's called the Sign Off Podcast earlier this year with a goal of sharing some of the secrets and stories of what goes on behind the scenes in the world of sports marketing. Each and every week, they have guests ranging from professional athletes to owners to the people who work closest with the players, each of whom provide unique insights into what it's like to work behind the scenes of professional sports leagues. And me, I was on the show. So we're having a contest. We've teamed up with Frameworth. Mike, are you there? We got Mike.
Thank you. Can I speak now? You were talking about me for so long and I felt like I had to step in there, but you know what? I don't want to step on your toes. I know you're a professional, right?
Yeah, clearly. And this would be tough.
Now there's the voice for radio.
Yeah, that's a strong voice. But yeah. Mikey is the same as me, okay? Stricken, okay? At the highest level, we should both be on a ton of Ritalin, okay? Because of our attention deficit. So you did really well there, Mikey, not to talk, okay?
It was tough. Especially you made the off the rails joke. And I was like, well, we're in common now because you've been sober a while too, right?
I have been. Yeah, exactly. Like I said, how come everyone remembered my name when I had a bunch of blow on me all the time? Oh, there's Jimmy. Come on over here. Anyway, thanks for joining us, Mikey. This was your idea. Thanks for being on your podcast. That was a laugh. And then you guys reached out and said, well, I got an idea because we're always about listenership. We're always about trying to get more people to download. That's the way these things work. And you guys came up with a cool idea. Do tell, Mikey.
Yeah, I will. So first of all, thanks for having me on. Long-time listener, first time, I guess, guest on the podcast. I don't know if that's something you could say, but no, basically the idea was, Jim, you know, we've been pretty close with one another for a while, listened to your podcast in all the various forms that it's taken. And we thought, what better way to, as you mentioned, give back to some of the listeners of our podcasts and to kind of commingle our listenership by offering a giveaway. All you have to do to take part in this giveaway, we're going to be giving away two jerseys, signed authentic Adidas Pro 8 jerseys for Sidney Crosby and Mitch Marner. There's one of each. All you have to do to enter into this is to make sure you subscribe to The Suspendables. I'm assuming if you're hearing my voice right now, you are already. It'd be hard not to be. Mm-hmm. And then you want to subscribe to our podcast, the Frameworth podcast. It's called The Sign Off, a Frameworth podcast. You can get it on all platforms, all podcast platforms that you have, as well as YouTube. Mm-hmm. Once you've subscribed to both of those, take a screenshot of those subscriptions and email us signoffpod@frameworth.com, signoffpod@frameworth.com. And then we'll be doing the draw the week of August 16th for those two winners. We're going to be announcing them on each of our podcasts. So a little bit of a hook to get you to come back and listen once again. But that's basically it. It's super simple. And you wouldn't know that based on the fact that Jim, you called me as I was heading out of the office a couple of days ago. And it was half an hour explaining to you what it means to subscribe to a podcast. And you have a bunch of them.
I know.
I couldn't believe it.
I know. I said, Rusty would be worse. So this is how this went, Rusty, this conversation in a nutshell. So Jim, all they got to, you know, fast Mikey dog. Jim, all they got to do is download, subscribe. Okay. And then take a screenshot of it and send it to us. I go, okay. So they do a screen subscribe. He goes, no.
he's like, oh, I'm listening to it now. So I'm subscribed. I'm like, you could be.
Yeah.
They mean two different things.
So now give it to us again, Mikey, so I don't screw everyone up.
Okay, how do they get in the contest? I'll do it. I gave it once to my listeners, as you mentioned. I need the riddle, and I speak quickly, but I'll slow it down. So maybe you'll understand as well this time, Jim. All right.
Sure.
So all you have to do. Make sure you're already subscribed to the Suspendables podcast, which you likely are if you're listening to this on any podcast platform. And make sure you're subscribed to the Sign Off of Frameworth podcast as well. take a screenshot showing that you're subscribed to both of those podcasts and email them to signoffpod@frameworth.com. If you are like Jim, no shame. I'm not trying to throw shade there. All you have to do is go to the page of each of the podcasts and click that subscribe button and take a screenshot showing subscribed. You'll see it on the homepage for either of our podcasts on whichever platform you use, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, that sort of thing.
Right. What about people who have already subscribed? Do they get a chance here?
Chances are they may not be subscribed to both of our podcasts, right? So we're not necessarily checking to see that you are a new subscriber, because we don't think that's fair to people who have been listening to us. We want to reward those people as well. So if you've been listening, just take a screenshot reminding us that you are subscribed. Send a shot of that on both of our podcasts. What we're hoping is that, you know, we have two different audiences and that we can kind of send some people over to you and you have some people come over to us and we get those listeners that way. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Here's what happened when I talked to Mikey. I said, well, Mikey, what would make a lot of sense? These are fantastic jerseys, the Sid the Kid and Marner, right? Is the one we're doing, Mitch Marner. I said, listen, as an added bonus, okay, because we had people, I put it out on my social media and people started to subscribe and we looked at those numbers and I said, as an added bonus, throw in something from Russ Cortinel, right? All of a sudden, they took a fucking dive. The subscriptions went, they went the base.
So is that why our listenership died off? I was wondering what that was.
Every chance I get, Mikey, I go after Russ. So,
hey, look, I barely made my house league team, so I'm in no position to judge. That's fine.
Swing and a miss.
lame. Before you go, Mikey, we were talking off air. About your company and you are a guy who's right into the you're into gaming, right?
You do. I am,
because remember you had a podcast, I think, about that originally when you started.
I've got actually three podcasts going. The one that I started with is about retro video games. It's called the Retrograde Podcast. So if by any chance those circles intersect, check that one out as well.
So what I wanted to ask you about, so Frameworth, with all the stuff you're licensed to do, since COVID hit, we had on that, you'd know Mark Rubin. He's got a sports collectible store in New York. We had him on one day. It was interesting. What's happened to your business since COVID has hit with selling merch, for example?
You know, it's interesting. I think everyone's initial thought when a pandemic hits or something critical hits and we're put into money saving mode is that no one is going to be spending anything. But there's that rumor. I don't know if it's a rumor, if it's been proven, but they say that the thing that continues to sell in the midst of a depression or a recession is lipstick and razors, right? Because people need to look after themselves for whatever reason.
What?
Because they say that it's like in the middle of a depression or a recession, the sales of lipstick and razors go up. And the reason I say that is because this is a bit different. You know, razors and lipsticks aren't the only way to take care of ourselves. Everyone's been relegated to work from home, or had been at the beginning of the recession. And, you know, it's one thing to come home from work and sit on your couch for a couple hours and go to bed. But when you're spending every day there, you want to liven up your room that you're going to be working in with some memorabilia. So people ended up spending more money on memorabilia. There was a little bit of a boom there for a while. And that continued over the course of COVID all the way to this day. You know, we're seeing a little bit of a dip now as things return to normal and maybe reality setting in for people, but it is crazy. We were talking off air a little bit before this started about cards and how the market for trading cards has gone up. And it seems to be, that's been the case with all sports memorabilia across the board.
Cool. And what's this, by the way, I've got lots of lipstick, so I'm good to go. I'm good to go, man. I've got
every color.
I got a new, it's called Lava Aqua Green.
Does it match the back of your phone over there? That's a red phone.
It's a pink phone.
Yeah. Never seen that.
I've got a, you know what? It's hot here. I got to put my lipstick in the fridge. tell us about this, a quick story, about, cause I remember Super Mario. Atari, those games.
Oh, God, yeah.
That was a staggering story you just told me about one of those games that was, I guess, produced in originally in 1996.
1996, you know, the turn of the gaming industry. One of the most famous games of all time was Super Mario 64. This is me putting my my nerd hat on. Russ, you would have beaten me up as kids because I was the kid playing video games at lunch, and you were probably playing sports like a real man. But I was there playing Mario 64. It came out in 1996, a pretty popular game, one of the highest selling games at the time, and yet a sealed copy of it. And that's the key distinction, is that it was never opened, but a sealed copy of Mario 64 for the Nintendo 64 recently sold at auction for $1 million.
Unreal.
$1 million.
Unreal.
Did you ever play video games, Russ? Did you ever get into Pac-Man? Not really.
A little bit. I mean, a little bit, but not like some of my friends that were really into it. One, I didn't have a lot of money growing up. And so a quarter into a video game machine, or a quarter spent buying candy at the corner store, I went for the candy.
Oh, that
so a
quarter. Money well spent.
We're dating ourselves. Mikey's like, what's a quarter?
Quarter.
What's a quarter?
Yeah.
Mikey, we really appreciate this, man.
Thanks, Mikey.
Quickly, once again, subscribe to your podcast and ours. Ours is Suspendables, and yours is
the Sign Off.
The Sign Off podcast. Follow the instructions there, take a screenshot, and you're going to go on a contest, and we're drawing it next week.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a shot at a Sid Crosby or a Mitch Marner signed authentic jersey. So we really appreciate it. I know this is going to take us over the top. We're going to forget everybody on the way up, man. It'll be great.
I can't even remember them now. So good luck. Good luck once I make it. Good luck. I don't even know if I know my family's name after this one. This is going to be
great. I know your family's name because your dad owns an island. He's now my father. Okay. That's you're true, out. Yeah. You're out and I'm in. Okay.
Okay. That works.
Take Mikey, it easy, Mikey.
Give your aunt shit that she didn't marry Gary Lehman. You would have been related to a hockey player. You'd have a real athlete in your family.
I feel like she probably regrets that every day of her life. He's a handsome devil, isn't he?
Ouch, poor Brian, man.
All right, okay, Mikey, guys, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, you bet, appreciate it.
Take it easy.
Just a reminder, if you'd like to connect online with Russ or Jimmy or engage with them on social media, find out how at thesuspendables.com.
Okay, there we go. Thanks a lot, Mikey. Like I said, it's one of several contests that we're going to start to lay out over the next several months. And that'll be great. Love Mikey. He's crazy, Rusty. I don't know if you know this kid. I call him a kid, but he's so energetic, man.
Yeah, and well-spoken.
Well-spoken. Does some hilarious stuff on social media. But you've got history with him. Well, so his father's Brian.
Yeah, so I met his grandfather and grandmother years when I played for the Leafs. They were season ticket holders.
Right.
His aunt, Brian's sister, dated Gary Lehman.
Oh, my God. She came out of that okay? Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, true story, they lived on a golf course, I think, and when Gary met, I can't remember her first name, it's been a long time ago, okay. But anyway, she was a golfer. So Gary picked up golf, and one summer he became almost a scratch golfer, dating his aunt, Mikey's aunt.
Wow, small world.
And then Jim Korn and his uncle, Brian's brother, who's since passed away, used to hang out at Brian's bar and restaurant up near Yorkville.
Sure.
After games, Jim Korn took me under his wing and we'd go up there and hang out. And they were all like 6'5". They're all tall guys.
Right.
And then there was me. And anyways, that's how I met the Aaronworth family. And his grandparents owned the frame shop. So when Brian can come on the show and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I think is when he left the restaurant business, he went and started working in the family business, which was framing.
Yeah, I think that's
right. And he came up with the idea of, he was started to frame stuff like, he framed all my jerseys from when all the jerseys that mattered to me are framed by Frameworth.
Okay.
And so the players were sending him jerseys, and then he started doing these like collectibles, you know, like 25 of or 50 of or 100 of players. And it was all his idea. And so he took a family business and created his own within the business. So it was the framing business was still, you know, making the frames, but he turned it into this sports empire, and he's done fantastic. And so, you know, he went from something he failed at to something he became, you know, one of the best guys maybe in the business for framing jerseys and what have you.
Yeah, and so, you know, when you meet him, you're going to feel like he's a brand new friend.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah, wonderful guy.
A great family.
Thanks a lot to all those guys. Lots to talk about on the show today, Rusty. Of course, the Olympics are over, and you're all about it. The Olympics and championships and Stanley Cups and playoffs and all that stuff. And what an Olympics it was. Mm-hmm. And your buddy, also, we want to talk about your buddy who got named to the Olympic hockey team.
Yeah.
To be the head coach.
Yeah.
John Coop. Cooper. And also, Russ, I need some advice because you don't mind the action a little bit. I like the action. And I'll slip over to the casino once in a while here to kill some time. I'm not a big action guy. But I've played blackjack for 35 years. I'm not a great blackjack player, but I play basic blackjack. Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. So some of the basic rules when you learn how to play blackjack are when to hit and when not to hit.
Yeah.
And if the dealer has, you know, a deuce to a six, okay, let's say a three to a six showing, okay, you're not hitting if you're over 10. Okay. That's a basic rule. It's called he's stiff. You got 13, you don't hit.
Right.
So two things, Rusty. Okay. What do you do, Russ? Okay, you're at the table and everyone's got their opinion, right? That you're screwing up the table and all this shit because you but Rusty, okay, I sat down going, no, who cares what a guy does? Who gives a shit what a guy does? It doesn't matter. It's not going to bother me until dude beside me, Russ. Okay. When the dealer has a king showing, this guy's got 13 and he goes, stick.
Oh, okay? No.
Yeah. And I kind of look at him, go, stick.
Yeah. Stick.
Okay. Stick. Anyway, blow it off. My hand busts, of course. The dealer makes 20. And now I'm going, okay. Okay.
And if he had a hit and you had a hit, the dealer probably would have busted.
Would have gone the other way or something, you know, or the other one, the splitting the sixes, Russ. I've never seen that at blackjack.
Oh my God.
Who splits? I said to the guy, so now I'm up on my feet, Russ. Okay. I said I would never say, I go to the guy, who splits sixes? Okay. Why do you take one bad hand and turn it into two bad hands? Anyway, I got asked to leave the casino.
Okay. Oh, you got asked to leave?
I did. Yeah,
no.
I got asked to leave.
Oh, and my
I got about $8 out there. Okay, it's not like I got 100. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you should take a break. I wasn't exaggerating. Who split sixes?
Well, the splitting sixes is brutal. But here's what I do. I try not to play at a full table.
Okay, yeah.
I try to play third base.
I'm writing this down. Third base is in the middle?
No, the end of the table.
Oh, end of the table. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And
you're going to be
just saying, say I've got a big bet out there.
Yep.
And the guy beside me has a small bet.
Yep.
And he's going, do I hit this? Do I not? And I tend to go, I'll pay you for the hit.
So okay.
Hit it and I'll cover. If you lose, here's the money. So it doesn't cost you anything. Just freaking hit it for me, please.
Yeah.
Hit it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I do is I tend to pay the person to hit the card. That's if I got a big bet out there.
Not a bad play.
If you're at a table and they're doing that, you should not say anything and you should get up and find a new table.
Go to another table. Right. Now. Easy enough said, but I just couldn't help myself. Who splits?
Oh,
anyway,
I've had some beauties. I had a guy in Vegas. He was like, well, I don't want your money. I don't want to hit. And I go, excuse me, I am giving you the money for free and I'm asking you to hit. You do not lose. This changes everything for me.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so he couldn't
and even understand. And it should be your choice. You got all the dough out there.
And he thought, I think I was trying to embarrass him or something. I said, sir, just here's the money. If you don't bust and he busts, if you lose your bet, I'm paying you back. You're not losing. He goes, oh, okay. But he was all offended at me. And I'm like, no, funny. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I said, I just got a big bet here. And I want to see what the cards would, how they're supposed to come out. Not you.
Yeah.
Your way anyway. So
just so many. I saw a guy split kings because the dealer was
dead. Never split 20, a winner.
You got 20 pal already.
How about splitting my, I think you're supposed to split eights against anything but an ace.
That's what I understand.
Eights against anything. Maybe even an ace.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think so.
I did it the other, I did it a couple of weeks ago and everyone gave me shit. And well, I was telling, we were kind of going back and forth on what you should do and you shouldn't do. My older friend, who's a mathematician, great guy, loves to gamble. And I go, well, you split eights against anything. He goes, oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. And I go, oh, yes, you do. Sure enough, I got the biggest bet of the night out.
And you got eights?
And I got eights, and there's a 10 showing. And of course, I freaking split and lose. And he's standing behind me going, see, told you, told you, don't do it.
Here's the other one where I pissed a guy off, Rusty, where the guy says, I'll ask once in a while, right? The dealers know blackjack better than anyone. And I'll say, what does the book say here? Yeah, what should I do?
When you know, I'm confused, give you help. I always ask.
Yeah, they'll give you help. Should I hit? And they'll say, well, the book says maybe you should. And then but as soon as you do that to the deal, there's always a nerd, a Norton at the table goes, here's what you're supposed to do. Okay, the odds say, and I go, okay, don't hand me that card, dealer. Okay, what are the odds? Okay, I say to the guy, what is it? What's the percentage?
Right.
And the guy will go, well, it's a 2.5% better chance. I'm going, okay. So I got 97.5% chance here on the other end, you know? It's like they're talking like it's 50% chance. Anyway, don't get me going, Rusty.
I don't know. You can call him out once, but eventually you just got to leave the table.
You got to F off and go to the table. You got to go. Forget him to leave. One of the
two. Well, you were trying by your remarks.
Yeah, he wins in the end as I got escorted out the front door of the casino. What is wrong with you,
Joel? Loser! There goes the loser!
I want to take a second. Our country's so small. Congratulations, Canada. They set a record. Baby. They set a record for medals. Rusty, I just thought the Olympics were... well, they crept up on me so fast. Rusty, I was on a holiday. As you know, we took a week off. I was 5 days, it was on the Saturday or something, or Thursday. And I said, aren't the Olympics coming up pretty soon? The guy said, yeah, they started last Sunday, dude. Okay. So I missed a bunch of them.
Can't wait for you to buy a TV.
Yeah.
But we need more listeners.
Yes, we do. Anyway, you know, I watched it. I forgot how much I loved it. And I was saying, Rusty, taking nothing away from winning a playoff game or winning a series or winning the Stanley Cup. But every event, Russ, you know, the biggest thing in hockey is game 7, fourth round to win the Stanley Cup. Am I correct there? I mean, is the biggest game of someone's life?
Yeah.
Until you watch the Olympics, Russ, and you see someone, vying for a gold medal.
Oh, yeah.
And I go to, no matter what the event was, right? There's 50 different channels that have it. And I'm watching, my favorite was a story, a guy actually from BC, this Evan Dunvey won a bronze in the 50K walk after the Rio Olympics, where he got bumped from a bronze because, you know, or he was going to move from fourth to third because they said he got bumped by another competitor. And he came forward and said, no, I don't care. I'm not taking the bronze. Give it to that guy. Wow, great story.
Good for him.
Yeah, unbelievable story. But every time I sit down, Russ, I'm going, this is unreal. This is for a gold. This is for a freaking gold.
So emotional.
So emotional, right? Yeah. And like I say, Russ, I just feel like I was watching game 7 of a Stanley Cup final every single event that I've said. This is
crazy. I agree with you. And the emotions are so amazing. You have 4 years from Olympic to Olympic, Olympics to Olympic. So you think about that. If you weren't ready for the last one and you train 4 years or 3 years or 2 years, whatever, and you miss it, you don't make it. And then you got to keep training and you can just see it in the emotion when they lose and when they win. And I think anyone who goes to the Olympics is a winner. And I don't say that because I went and didn't. We didn't get a medal, I should say. We were fourth, but
right.
I think any athlete that is good enough and gets to go to the Olympics, they've already won. And the fortunate three, you know, first, second, third, get a medal. But it's a big deal. And I remember I was only 18 when I went, and I only had a couple months. After I was in the World Junior Championships in Sweden, I got called up to the Olympic team. And then we soon after that went right over to Sarajevo and to Europe and trained in Germany and then went to Sarajevo, and it was a whirlwind tour. But while the emotions for me representing my country, having my mom, my stepdad, my younger brother Bruce there to watch and experience it with me, and then be in the village, be around other sports, I fell in love with figure skating, which I couldn't stand my entire life. Really? Because they made holes in the ice. So we always, the hockey players and figure skaters always had to have this, you know, you're ruining the ice, or you get the better ice time than we get. And it was always this friction between the two. And then I went over there and there was nothing to do but to go to events when you were off. So we started going to cheer on our fellow Canadians. And I was so amazed at the athleticism in figure skating and the beauty of it with the pair dancing. And it was one of the most, for our hockey team, was one of the most watched events that we all went to.
Right. Right.
So anyways, it was a fantastic time. And the people who win, it's, you can see it, and the people who lose and they feel like they're supposed to win or rated to win. I'll never forget Barbara Underhill calling her mom when I was getting stitched up after the Russian game, and she fell and they didn't win. And she was crying to her mom uncontrollably. And it was just horrific. I was in the next room getting stitched up and she's in there bawling her eyes out. And I heard it firsthand, and I know exactly how I could feel it, you know, right. her not winning when they were expected to.
Right. Another cool angle on a lot of these athletes who come in, as you point out, Russ, and the obvious is there's only three positions that are going to get medals, you know, first, second, third. And then, you know, the majority of the participants in each event are not going to medal. You know, the marathon, some of the other, you know, there's 100 people, you know, that start that, you know, the marathon. So, yeah. But one of the really cool stories, and I saw it on more than one occasion, was someone who got interviewed or went on social media after. I saw it in the women's golf. I saw Rory McIlroy when he got interviewed after. Of course, he was one of the favorites to win a medal. He did not. And he was over the moon. He said, I just never thought I would have this feeling. I thought it would just be another golf tournament, but yeah, man, was I wrong.
Right.
That the pride that I felt and the energy of playing for Ireland, you know, he said was overwhelming. And there's many athletes who came on and said, this has been the greatest experience of my life. You know, and you think he won the gold. He's like, no, I placed 81st, but it was just like, I can't tell you how fantastic that is. The closing ceremonies, you always see a bunch of people put up, a bunch of athletes put up posts, and so many of them are the, you know, this has been the greatest experience of my life, who didn't win medals, you know.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was really
cool. Well, because they were having sex every night in their apartments, people from around the world.
What?
You haven't heard about all the sex at the Olympics?
Well, you know what? This year they said there isn't going to be, because they had sexless beds.
Beds, yeah. And some athlete, my wife told me, they came on and said, no, this will work.
Yeah.
This will work.
Like, how much room do you need? You're having sex here, Russ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, you don't need a bunch of room. Is there a bunch of sex?
You remember those days, don't you?
Oh, sexless days, I do.
Yeah. Having sex.
Yeah. Everyone, okay, I tell you what, everyone did except me, but I was the great opener. Well, there was a girl, Karen Lee Gartner.
You had sex with her?
No, I didn't have sex with her. But I was in the Olympics in Calgary, I believe, and she won a medal, and said, because she had sex the night before.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, good for her. Yeah, well done.
Maybe we should get her on as a... as the show, as a
contest
guest.
Winner. Karen Lee Gartner's on. We got a contest coming
up. Let's
hear
all the stories.
Rusty, your buddy, John Cooper.
Yeah, Coop.
Talk about it. Yeah, he's going to be the head coach of the Canadian Olympic hockey team.
Unbelievable. What a story. I think they should make a movie about him.
Really?
Well, he's a lawyer and he starts volunteering as a coach to coach hockey, like midget kids or something, midget age. Mm-hmm. And the judge calls him to the stand and says, I hear you're coaching kids. Something about his kids coach just quit. We need a coach. Can you come coach my son's hockey team?
The judge says that?
Judge says it to him. So he says, okay. Yes, he starts coaching. Now he's a head coach. And I think he's in Michigan or somewhere. He starts coaching, starts loving it right from the get-go. And then his wife, who's a lawyer, he comes home one day, maybe 2 or 3 years into it. And it might've been even shorter than that. And he said, I want to take this seriously and do it. And she goes, you are, honey, you're doing great. And, no, I want to quit what I'm doing and I want to be a coach.
Next level.
And then if you look up his career, he started it and I believe he went from minor hockey to junior to the minors to the NHL. And it was a pretty fast track and he won at every level. Every level he won a championship. And the guy is amazing, but his story is even more amazing. I mean, who does that? Oh, right. Honey, I think I'm going to coach. He went to Notre Dame with my younger brother, Bruce, graduated from Notre Dame. And I think
Saskatchewan, Notre Dame.
And he went to college and played field lacrosse. He didn't even play hockey. And he did not make the junior B team at Notre Dame. So he played on the juvenile team or whatever below. Uh-huh. And, that was it. I mean, he wasn't a AAA hockey player. Might've been when he was younger, but he didn't when he was 17. So the story of him is pretty freaking incredible, but I look him up, look at where he coached and it's just phenomenal. And I'm so happy for him. And he should be our Olympic coach because he's been the best coach in the NHL for years. And he's finally getting recognized because he's won back-to-back.
Is it me, Russ, or have a bunch of these international teams not had a bunch of big name coaches and yet he is for sure. But I always, you know, I've Spengler Cups and all these other things that come along. You know, I don't even know who that coach is, you know, for some of those teams. And this guy might be the biggest and best coach ever, Russ.
Well,
some other guys might argue Hitchcock and those guys, but.
Yes. Spengler Cup, they usually pick a Canadian coach who's coaching over in Europe or a guy who's been fired.
Right.
And is, you know, waiting to be hired. And so that.
Not the best pick, you know?
Well, but the NHL's ongoing is they're in season. All the leagues are in season during Spengler Cup. Spengler Cup happens when the European teams take a month off. So you're getting what you get. You got to either get a coach who coaches in those leagues because they're off, or you need somebody who's fired. As far as the Olympics and the World Cup, World Cup is similar. It's usually a guy who's waiting to be hired or, you know, I don't know how that all works because the NHL, you could be in the playoffs still while the World Championships are on. And then the Olympics is the only time where you can really pick the best coach available.
Right. And when you hear this guy's name, you go, there we go. Okay.
Yeah. I'm happy for him.
Explain this to me, Russ, if you can.
2 + 2 = 4.
How do you coach a team that's thrown together? How do they do it, Russ?
Well, it has nothing to do with time. And the hardest thing is when you get the best players picked from each country and trying to turn it into a regular team lineup. So first line, second line, third line, fourth line, and you've got players who are used to being the star of their team. And now you're going to ask them to play on the fourth line.
Right.
Defense, same thing. You got three pairings. They're all great. Goaltending. Who do you pick? They're all great. Convincing those players to play as a team and take lesser roles for the stars and put their egos aside is probably the most difficult thing to do. And Pat Quinn, when when Wayne Gretzky picked Pat Quinn as his coach, I told Gretz, I said, one thing that you'll get from Pat is you'll get the respect of the players because he allows men to be men and have fun and work hard. And when he's upset, everybody in that room is going to be, they're going to be shitting their pants because he was such an incredible man, but he could convince the All-Stars to take a lesser role and be a penalty killer and be on that third line and fourth line when they're used to being on the first power play and the first line of the team that they play for in the NHL.
Yeah.
And that is the most difficult thing. And when you see great teams fall apart, it's usually that egos are ripping the team apart. It's the players that can't, they just can't sit there and watch somebody do something that they normally do night in and night out. And it's really, really difficult to sit there and watch people do something that you're able, capable, and you have to, you know, sit there and watch somebody else do your job. And that it will be Coop's biggest challenge.
Isn't that interesting, Russ? Because when you hear that, you say, well, it's how are you going to handle egos in a nutshell, right? In a nutshell, how are you going to handle these egos? And God, isn't that the same when kids get together at 5 years old to play? Then you know what I mean? It's like the same. I remember playing Adam hockey, right? And some guy sort of crying because he didn't get picked enough to be on the ice, you know?
Well, the hardest thing is being capable and able to do the job and sit there and watch somebody else do it. If you're playing in the NHL and there's the guy who's on the third line and fourth line normally, but you know, I want to be up, but they're better than me. So I can't really do much about it.
Right.
That's not always true because when Vegas picked those players, they picked players that were capable and able, but they weren't getting the opportunity. But to win in the Olympics, everybody's got to freaking do it for the team. And you know, the coach has to make these tough decisions. I'm going with this guy. I'm going with that guy. I mean, what's his name? Picked Ray Bourque over Wayne Gretzky for the shootout. I mean, who does that? But he did. He thought Ray was going to be a better, shootout player than Gretz. And he was wrong. I mean, he paid the price for it.
Right. Yeah, he sure did.
Crow, right? Crow.
It's Crow. It's Mark Crawford.
Yeah. Mark Crawford.
Oh, Crow. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I thought you meant last name Crow. Yeah. Crawford. Anyway, congratulations to all the Canadian athletes and all the athletes. I absolutely loved it. It's staggering to see the commitment, and doing what they did to win. And do yourself a favor, folks. Follow stories from people who did win medals or even their Olympic story, and you'll be knocked out by a bunch of them, I'm sure. You know, the next Olympics are in Paris, Russ, the 2024. And I was watching a thing last night, a little wrap up on the news about them handing over the flag to the mayor of Paris. And they said, you're going to see a much different Olympics going forward. Because they're all about the young, okay, Russ. You know the Gen Xers, Russ, or whatever they're calling them, the flakes, the whatever these kids are. Okay, that drives me bananas. So you saw a taste of it this year, Russ. They had rock climbing, they had surfing, skateboarding, like the extreme cycling. You know, when they do on the bikes. You know, they did all that. Break dancing. Stevie just told me is going to be in the next Olympics. So now I'm going, huh? And they're getting rid of this Olympics anyway. I don't know why. I don't think it's because of popularity, but maybe baseball, softball, and karate are going to be left out of the Olympics. Yeah. I'm not sure why. Although they say maybe they'll be brought back in 2020 in Los Angeles. So
wow.
Can you get me tickets to the Olympics in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Thank you.
Once you're an Olympian, you always get tickets. Back to your casino.
Wait a minute.
What?
You get tickets all the time to the Olympics?
If you want them, yeah. Wow. Yeah, you're part of the we're all in this. They send us emails all the time about being an Olympian. Olympian.org or something. I can't remember what it was. I signed up for it. Once you're an Olympian, you're always welcome. Cool. I don't know if they're free or not. I just know that I have access to tickets. If I want to go, I would.
You know, I make fun of you, but I forget. That's a hell of a title, Rusty, an Olympian. It really is. And there's no punchline here. It really is.
Thank you, pal. I'm proud of it. But I just looked up splitting sixes just because I was curious.
Okay. Back to blackjack.
So you split sixes against a 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It's optional on a 7. You can split or hold or hit. Split or hit. So it's either a split or a hit.
Yeah, against the 7. You hit the 12, right?
Obviously, against the 8, 9, 10 ace, it's just a hit.
Right, against the 12.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. No wonder I'm losing money at blackjack.
If you're in a casino and you can double down, you always split sixes against the 7. So, you know, some casinos won't let you double if you get a 5.
You just
get to hit.
Right. Okay.
Anyways, little gambling there.
Thank you. Yeah.
Little education. I kind of was curious on that myself. Just so my friend, when he yells at me for splitting sixes, I can say, hey.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Well, we'll see you in Vegas, Rusty. We'll see you. We'll be down there soon. Congratulations again to all the medal winners and all the participants in the Olympics. It was great. Thanks a lot to Mikey Aaronworth. A little quick wrap up here of our contest that we're doing with Framework. You can win a signed Sid Crosby or Mitch Marner jersey. Subscribe to both podcasts, the Suspendables or the Sign Off podcast. Send a screenshot of both subscriptions to signoffpod@framework.com, and the winners will be announced August 16th. Okay. So
easy for that, you to do.
And we're going to give away some jewelry. What did you say? What? Before I
easy
left?
For you to do.
A screen scribe. That's what I said. Do I do a screen scribe? I
could totally see you with the smoke coming out of your ears. I was trying to explain it because I know I'd be the same. That's where you and I are freaking identical.
It's I like, know, pal.
What? Who? Yeah. What? Yeah. Where?
Feel everyone's
which button?
Yeah. What do you mean what do you mean dial a phone? What? How do you do that? Okay. Take it easy, Rusty. Have a good week. Go sell some real estate.
Okay.
We'll talk to you next week, everybody. You've been listening to another episode of The Suspendables with me, Jungle Jim Jerome, and him, Russ Cortnell. Check out all our shows, suspendables.ca, and drop us an email, suspendables@yahoo.com. Take it easy, everybody. Have a good week.
The Suspendables is a weekly podcast series featuring former NHLer Russ Cortnell and host Jim Jerome. Join us for new episodes available each Wednesday morning. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We invite you to subscribe and review or share the show with your friends and followers. Check out our website today, thesuspendables.com.